I don't.
Because if you think so, Harry, then it probably is. And if you decide that it isn't, it probably isn't.
The power of positive thinking, I asked.
No. Free will, she said. You can't change what has already happened, but you choose what to do next, which means that you can only cross over to the dark side if you choose to do it.
What makes you think that I won't? I asked.
Murphy snorted and reached over to touch my chin lightly with the fingers of one hand.
Because I'm not an idiot, unlike some other people in this car.
I reached up and gripped her fingers with my right hand, squeezing gently. Her hand was steady and warm.
Careful, that was almost a compliment.
You're a decent man, Murphy said, lowering her hand without removing it from my fingers. Painfully oblivious sometimes, but you've got a good heart. It's why you're so hard on yourself. You're tired, hungry, and hurting, and you saw the bad guys do something you couldn't stop. Your morale is low. That's all.
Her words were simple, frank, and direct. There was no sense of false comfort to her tone, not a trace of indulgent pity.
I've known Murphy for a while. I knew that she meant every single word. Knowing that I had her support, even in the face of violation of the laws she worked to preserve, was a sudden and vast comfort.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Murphy is good people.
Maybe you're right, I said. Hell's bells, I've got to stop feeling sorry for myself and get to work.
Start with food and rest, she said. If you don't hear from me, assume I'll pick you up in the morning.
Right, I said.
We sat there holding hands for a minute.
Karen, I asked.
She looked up at me. Her eyes looked very large, very blue. I couldn't stare at them too long.
Have you ever thought about, you know, us?
Sometimes, she said.
Me too, I said.
But the timing always seems to be off somehow.
She smiled a little.
I noticed.
Do you think it'll ever be right?
She squeezed my hand gently and then withdrew hers from mine.
I don't know. Maybe sometime.
She frowned at her hand and then said, it would change a lot of things.
It would, I said.
You're my friend, Harry, Murphy said. No matter what happens, sometimes in the past, I haven't really done right by you.
Like when you handcuffed me in my office, I said.
Right.
And when you chipped one of my teeth arresting me,
Murphy blinked.
I chipped a tooth?
And when,
yes, all right, she said.
She gave me a mild glare, her cheeks pink.
The point is that I should have seen that you were one of the good guys a lot sooner than I did, and
I blinked at her ingenuously and waited for her to say it.
And I'm sorry, she growled.
Jerk.
That had cost her something.
Murphy has more pride than is good for her, and yes, I am aware of the proverb about glass houses and stones. So I didn't give her any more of a hard time than I already had.
Now don't go all romantic on me now, Murph.
She smiled a little and rolled her eyes. If we ever did get together, I'd kill you inside a week. Now, go get some rest. You're useless to me like this.
I nodded and swung out of the car.
In the morning, then.
Around 8, she said, and pulled out and back onto the street. She called to me,
be careful.
I looked after the car and sighed. My feelings about Murphy were still in a hopelessly complicated tangle. Maybe I should have said something to her sooner, shared my feelings with her sooner, acted more swiftly, taken the initiative.
Be careful, she said.
Why did I feel like I'd been too careful already?